What's going on, everybody? I am Perry White. I'm the host of the Jaguar Journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107.3 FM. We also have our affiliates in Alexandria, Louisiana, as well as down in New Orleans. And if you're not able to catch us on radio live, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as follow us on Facebook. It's the Jaguar Journal.
Opinionated, outspoken, informative.
The Jaguar Journal.
Your source for the latest information on Southern University sports and SWAC athletics.
A Baton Rouge sports talk tradition.
Bright and early on a Saturday morning, it is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. I am Perry White. Glad to have you guys up early on this Saturday with me. As you can hear, I'm in the studio. I'm not in Atlanta today. You know, the Southern Jaguars did not punch their ticket to the Celebration Bowl last week, falling short. I guess falling further than short. It wasn't short, nothing short about it at all. Falling a long way from going to Atlanta, going on the road last week to Jackson, Mississippi, and taking on Jackson State for the SWAC championship. And we'll talk a lot more about that game as we recap the game. Look ahead to today's big matchup in the Celebration Bowl, an FCS Top 25 matchup between the MEAC champ, Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference champion, South Carolina State versus the Southwestern Athletic Conference champion, Jackson State. Oh, man, should be a heck of a ball game. A lot of question marks, I guess, around that game as well. And we'll talk about that game also. So we'll recap the SWAC championship. We'll look ahead towards the Celebration Bowl. And I got a great show lined up for you guys today. We'll have Southern University defensive coordinator, Coach Henry Miller, on at the 7:30. Spot for the show, and then we'll have at 8 o'clock, at the top of the hour, Southern University offensive coordinator Mark Fredericks here on the show. So get a chance to talk to both the coordinators. We've heard from, of course, the man who leads the charge, Coach Terrence Graves, already here on this show. And now time to hear from the coordinators and, you know, reflect back on the season, the bright spots, the bad spots, what worked, what didn't work. What's recruiting looking like at this point, the transfer portal, and, you know, just this ever-changing landscape of college athletics, particularly here at Southern. Moving forward, now that we have put a cap on the fall, what's next? As we head into Christmas break, and then we'll come back on the other side, and it'll be the spring. And so those are the conversations we're going to have today. And, you know, just get there perspective on the season and just figure it out, you know, because the transfer portal is and has been active. right? I've seen Kobe Dillon, Southern University running back, has submitted his name into the transfer portal. And a couple other guys, you know, so. And that's what we're going to talk to him about. What does this look like as you have to replenish a roster going out for the high school recruiting? And speaking of high school recruiting, how about the Louisiana High School State Championship? Football championships being played since Thursday, right? And one thing I love about high school football, particularly when it comes to small town USA, the little towns that, you know, we all love the big cities. Well, everybody doesn't, but I can enjoy being in a place that has what they say, everything I need within a close proximity. But there's a large portion of America that we often forget that it's AKA small town USA. And I love it, especially when I get a chance as an official and I'm traveling and you get a real good look at it come playoffs. And I get a chance in the playoffs to travel throughout the state and go to these communities and realize how much these communities care about their football, how much football brings together these communities. Everybody's there. And when you can get a community behind a football team and that football team some type of way, get passed through the gauntlet of a Louisiana high school football season, a regular season, and inch their way through postseason and find themselves with a ticket punch to that dome. Because that's what it's all about, getting to the dome in Louisiana, right? Whether you're a football official or whether you're a football coach or whether you're a football player, everybody talks about the same thing, getting to the dome. And it's amazing when you get a chance to see those small towns following those five or six buses from wherever they from in the state of Louisiana, from the corner to the middle to the sides, it doesn't matter. And making that way down to New Orleans to represent their school in a state championship against probably most likely another small town community that you've never been to, you may have heard about, maybe two totally opposite ends of the state, right? Never been to your end of the state. They never been to your end of the state. And it's just, you get a chance to come together in New Orleans. Then, of course, you get the big city schools as well, right? And when I say big city schools, I'm talking about like the Donham of Baton Rouge, right? Like Etna Carr of New Orleans, right? Even Central, shout out to Central. I had a game this year with Central and Zachary. Let me tell you, pouring down, raining. But Central defense is something different. If you haven't seen Central play this year, they hang their hat on their defense. That D-line is nasty. They get after you. And Central will be in the state championship today, taking on Ruston, who is a really good football team from North Louisiana. Once again, two communities. Totally different opposite ends of the state. Then you look at Edna Carr taking on Alexandria. I had Alexandria this year. Officiated a game with them. They have a running back, I believe, that's committed to LSU. Listen, the kid is different. You know when you see something different on the field compared to everybody else. He is different. If I can recall, his number may have been number 5. The kid is flat out different. He asked for the contact. Come here, let me run into you. Let me run over you. And it's one of those, ooh, the whole stadium hears it as he continues trekking on to the end zone. But we'll talk a little bit more about that. Louisiana High School football state championships are underway. We'll talk football in terms of the Celebration Bowls, recap of the SWAC, and everything else. It's 7:15 a.m. You guys wake up, get your coffee. My man, hey, Kevin Walker, go get your coffee, baby. I don't know what you put in it, but but everybody else, get your coffee. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. It's the Jaguar Journal. All right, we're back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. 7:17 a.m. Hope you guys are having a great Saturday morning. Shout out to everybody who are in the comments section this morning. As always, appreciate you guys for supporting. Now, hey, everybody listening on 107.3 FM here across the Baton Rouge, Capital City area, good morning. The entire region, man, it's good to have you guys with us, and as well as everybody watching on our YouTube channel. Good morning. Glad to have you guys with us. Hit that subscribe button if you have not done so already. And everybody watching on the Facebook Live, good to have you guys with us as well. We're all over the place, Facebook, YouTube, and right here on radio. So you can get us in a plethora of different ways, as they say, if you want to catch up with us at the Jaguar Journal. But always, if you never ever catch the show, the entire segment, or the, you know, you have to cut it off and go somewhere and come back and you miss something, always be sure to head over. Know that you can head over to the Jaguar Journal YouTube channel, and then you go back and watch any episode, previous, current, whatever the case may be, all the way back for years, and as well as the different segments. My man Mike has been doing a great job at chopping up segments, putting them out there for you guys to get an opportunity to check those out if you want to. And then be sure to hit that subscribe button, hit that like and follow button on our Facebook page as well. And then all you got to do on radio is just turn to 107.3 FM every Saturday morning and turn it up just a little bit. So I don't want to be too loud in here, but just enough to get your day started as you get ready to get going. As I was talking about before the break, the Louisiana High School State Championship games being played down in New Orleans started out Thursday, going into yesterday, and then it'll be finishing up today. I'm looking forward to the matchups today. A lot of talent here in the state of Louisiana, and I have the privilege of where I get a chance to see it as a football official here. I'm a part of the Baton Rouge Association, so I cover a plethora of different areas. I'm using that word today, plethora, okay? I cover many different areas around the capital city area, the metro area, and I get a chance to see some really great talent in this area. And I tell people all the time, because they always ask me, I get questions from people out of state that ask about Louisiana. And I say, you know, when I look at the athletes here, I don't compare to states like Texas and even Florida. Right, because when I just look at Texas as a whole, I look at the powerhouses and the amount of finance that goes into those programs. When I would say programs, I'm talking about the facilities and everything else that goes into a program. And those kids have an abundance of resources to go behind them, whether it's nutrition, whether it's weights, whether it's whatever the case may be. Those kids have, seems like, sometimes unlimited resources that go behind them in high school football in the state of Texas. Now, I get a chance to go around the state of Louisiana, and I see a lot of programs, or sometimes I see a lot of teams, not necessarily programs, I see teams, right? And these teams doing what they can with what they can. They don't have the big fancy facilities. They don't have the big fancy stadium. Hell, some of them may not even have turf. The vast majority of them don't have turf. You know, the weight room may be in the back of a gym. They don't have all the equipment outside to use as practice. But what I get a chance to tell them is, man, I see raw talent. Just raw talent with a ton of potential, which is why I think you get so many schools from across the nation that come in and recruit within the state of Louisiana. When you get schools that's looking all across the country to the state of Louisiana, you see why. The programs aren't necessarily, you know, the programs of the century, you know, where they just known for state championships. Hell, you can go find a team that probably went, 4-6 on the season? And have 2-3 guys that are able to play FBS football. It's just like that around here. Just raw talent. And you see these guys, man, and all you could do is look at them and say, man, look, the potential in that kid, listen. The River Parish area, people talk about around right here in Baton Rouge. The New Orleans area, the middle of Louisiana. Check out Alexandria in the state championship today. Then North Louisiana, how about Ruston? Neville just got beat by Central. Those are mostly your programs when I'm talking about your Rustins, your Neville, right? Zachary, that's a program. But then you just get these teams, right? Well, they're not really known for making it deep into the playoffs. They're not known for contending for state championships. They're just teams that are on the schedule. You know, they win here and there, but when you see these teams, you're like, dang, who is number 73? Man, who is number 6? 81, man, where is that kid going to school? I get the opportunity to see that a lot. And, you know, and that's what I tell people all the time. You get just raw talent here in the state of Louisiana. And it's amazing to watch it because you're looking at the surroundings. You look at the lack of resources. And sometimes you look at the lack of community support. I will say Baton Rouge definitely has to do better when it comes to supporting its local high school football. And I'm not talking about the private schools, right? The U-Highs, the Catholics, the Episcopal, and whatever are those other schools. I'm just talking about the everyday schools around here, the Bel Air, the Terras, the Strumas. I can go on and on. Sometime I get those games, man, we'll be at Memorial Stadium. And I know everybody even talk about Capitol High. I don't be seeing the support for them kids like it's supposed to be. Some talent out there, I just don't be seeing the support. It'll be a game and it's 200 people at the game, if that. I've done games here in Baton Rouge where literally it was just the bands and the cheerleaders between two high schools and us on the field on a Friday night. Literally an empty stadium with the bands and the cheerleaders and maybe 5 parents. That's the other thing, the parent support. I'm big about that type of stuff. When I look into the stands and I want to know, man, are the parents here supporting these kids? Is the community here to support these kids? You know, I had an opportunity to work with Louisiana youth football this year. Shout out to my man Leroy. The support I see for those kids, what's that, the South Baton Rouge, you got the Rams, you got the Jaguars, you had the Kings, some more teams out there. The Crimson Tide, the Future, the little kids. Man, listen, an IPA announced for them this year. I had to hype the fans up, get them into it. Create some form of excitement into those games because, listen, I always talk about it. Them little kids need the support. Those coaches need the support. We got to support those young people. And that's when I talk about those small town USA places that support their teams. That when it's time to go to the Dome, the entire town closed down. Nobody's at work. Nobody's at home. Headed to New Orleans. But I would like to see more support, especially right here in Baton Rouge, because I see that a lot. When I get these inner city schools, and I guess, yeah, the inner city schools, y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't nobody be there. Don't nobody be supporting them. Some more than others, but for the vast majority of them, man, nobody's out there supporting those kids, man. Putting resources to help those students and those coaches. That bothers me sometimes. And I guess I'm a little bothered by it today as I'm talking about these different teams and different places from around the state. And then, you know, the first thing people say, well, we don't recruit. Well, I'm saying this about Southern. This is what people say about Southern. Well, they don't recruit the Baton Rouge area. And I'm going to ask the coaches today because I don't, you know, I guess that notion because students don't typically say, hey, I'm signing a scholarship or I want to go to Southern. And sometimes they just decide to maybe want to go somewhere else that people take that and say, well, they're not recruiting Baton Rouge. I've even heard saying they're not recruiting New Orleans. I don't know how you don't recruit Louisiana, period. If you're coaching in the state of Louisiana. But that's why I'm going to have them on today. We're going to have Coach Henry Miller on here in just a minute. I'm going to get him on, and then we're going to have Coach Mark Frederick, both the defensive coordinator and offensive coordinator at Southern University. Hell of a season as the Jaguars came to an end last week in the SWAC Championship. To Jackson State, who punched their ticket to the Celebration Bowl. They'll be taking on South Carolina State today at 12 noon Central, 1 o'clock Eastern to kick off the Bowl's season, the only FCS bowl game amongst all the FBS bowl games, of course, the FCS playoffs on the way as well. I'll talk a little bit about that also because, you know, I'm big about keeping up with the whole landscape, whether it's FCS, FBS, all of the above, just keeping us informed of what football is looking like out there on our level and on the big level. College football playoffs out. Hey, the Heisman. How about Travis Hunter? Former Jackson State wide receiver and DB, now over at Colorado, of course, following Coach Deion Sanders, got his name called up. He is a Heisman finalist. How huge is that, considering his background of coming from the HBCU FCS space, particularly Jackson State? Whether people like it or not, you got to put the hate sometime aside and say, man, hell of a job of that kid coming from this space and then going to excel at the FBS level. Of course, he was a five-star. He was the number one recruit in the nation. You kind of assumed at some point that he was going to live up to the hype, and he has. All right, that's enough of that. Let's get ready to take a break at 7:30. Come back on the other side. We'll continue the show. Y'all stay tuned. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, we're back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. Glad to have you guys with me this morning. 7:33 a.m. I'm still trying to wake up myself. Try to wake up Coach Henry Miller. Didn't get him on. We'll try to continue to push through as the show goes on. Southern University defensive coordinator, get him on here on the show. But let's do this, though, because we have an opportunity to do so. Let's recap last week's game against Southern and Jackson State for the SWAC championship up in Jackson, Mississippi. Southern falls short in this one. Jackson State wins big. 41-13 was the final score as the Tigers of Jackson State won the SWAC championship at home and sent Southern back to Baton Rouge. Jackson State moves on. Southern finishes the season at 8-5. Let's look at this ball game. Jackson State, 25 first downs in this ball game. They were 2 of 10 on third downs, 385 total yards in this game, 110 yards passing, as well as 275 yards rushing. 8 penalties in this ball game for Jackson State. Also had 2 turnovers, both 2 interceptions in this ball game. On the other side for the Jaguars, 18 first downs. They went 6 of 17 on third down and 1 of 1 on fourth downs. Total yards, 313 total yards of offense for the Jaguars in this one. 180 in the air, 133 on the ground. Southern, unfortunately, the turnover bug. 4 turnovers, 2 by way of fumble, 2 by way of interception. All right, let's look at the quarterback position, right? Jalen Woods did not start this ballgame. Had an opportunity to talk to the coaches beforehand. They said Jalen Woods had not passed concussion protocol. Seems that he has suffered a concussion and had symptoms after the Bayou Classic. So for a lot of you guys out there that were asking and wanted to know, well, why did Jalen Woods get the start against Jackson State? That's what it was. He dressed out, but that was about it. Nothing else to it. Did not pass concussion protocol. Xavier Tissett then takes over. The hometown kid from Scotlandville takes over and starts this game. He goes 11 of 21 for 127 yards, no touchdowns, but he threw an interception. He also kept drives alive with his leg, and that's what we talked about, the dual threat ability of Xavier Tissett. 14 carries for 56 yards and a touchdown. Noah Biden also saw time late in this ball game as he went 4 of 13 for 53 yards and an interception also. Let's look at Kobe Dillon and Kendrick Grimes, the 1-2 running back. Kobe Dillon, 9 carries for 41 yards, and Kendrick Grimes, 6 carries for 31 yards, along with C.J. Russell, 5 carries for 15 yards. Jackson's defense did a pretty damn good job keeping Southern's run game in check. And then the leading receiver, Darren Morris, 6 receptions for 65 yards, followed up by Southern University tight end Dupree Fuller, 2 receptions for 42 yards. That's Southern's offense. On the other side, Jackson State, Jacobian Morgan got the start in this ballgame. Of course, he had pretty much solidified himself as a Jackson State starting quarterback. He goes 2 of 4 for 35 yards and an interception. And one thing I will say, Southern's defense looked like they had the game plan to slow him down and keep him contained. But as Southern did just that, he got injured right before halftime, and they bring in Zy McDonald, who comes in. He's the third-string quarterback. He comes in and gives Jackson State the spark they needed. Southern was leading 10-3 before halftime. He comes into the ballgame and gets it done with his legs, and just Southern had no answer for him. Zy McDonald finished today 6 of 11 for 75 yards passing, a touchdown and an interception, but he also included 8 carries for 95 yards rushing and a touchdown, along to go with the SWAC Offensive Player of the Year, Irv Mulligan, at the running back position, 23 carries, 116 yards rushing, and a touchdown. And then Travis Terrell Jr., SWAC Return Man of the Year, because he is dangerous. Agent Zero is what they should be calling me. Do not punt, kick, nothing to him. He had also 10 carries for 47 yards and a touchdown. And then you had Jamel Gardner Jr., 4 receptions for 71 yards. And then Fortillion, 2 receptions, 23 yards, and a touchdown as well. And then Robert McDaniel with 2 interceptions in this ball game. Listen, it was Jackson State. It was Jackson State in this ball game. Jackson State's defensive line is nasty. It's a brick wall. No doubt about it. It is a tough day going at them back to back to back to back, just running into that. They applied the pressure, but let me tell you something. Southern's defensive line. Kelby Givens is an absolute baller. I mean, the amount of pressure Givens was putting on Jacobian Morgan early in that game. And, of course, Kelby Givens is the co-defensive player of the year, which I still don't get that co-defensive player of the year. Just he was the defensive player of the year in the conference. The pressure that they were putting on the quarterback, Jacobian Morgan, Henry Miller and company had the recipe. It was just an extra ingredient was put in by Jackson State when Zy McDonald comes in and – he's a lot more athletic with his legs. Jacobian Morgan, don't get me wrong, is a dual threat quarterback. He can move around. But Zyges was a change of pace for them. He gave them the spark that they needed because Jackson for a quarter and a half did not look like the Jackson who had been putting the pressure on everybody. Now I look at Irv Mulligan, I look at Fortillion, Jacobian Morgan. I look at that entire, and then even that O-line, right? The O-line early on seemed to struggle. But nonetheless, I was quite impressed on how they were able to, how Southern's defense was able to early on apply the pressure to Jackson's offense. But Kelby Givens, he is a baller. The kid is an absolute beast on the field. And every time you look up, he's there. We good? All right. Without any further introduction, talking about Southern's defense, let's get the head man who calls the play. That's my man, Coach Henry Miller. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. Good morning. How you doing?
Doing good, man. How about yourself?
Oh, man, I'm making it. One day at a time.
I'm glad I got you on. I was getting worried for a second. I said, God, dog, I should have sent the SOS.
I got my grandbabies here, and I was looking forward to it, and it distracted me for a few minutes. So I was behind for a few minutes.
Ain't nothing wrong with the grandbabies, man. Listen, that's just you doing your part. Coach, let's jump right into it, man. Let's talk about the defense, right? Been the bright spot for this Southern team. I guess you can go back the past 3 years since you've touched down in Baton Rouge, and even when it seems like the offense has its struggles, Southern's defense has been right there holding it down. I got to ask, going back into last week quickly, the game plan that you had against Jackson State and Jacobian Morgan, it was working up until the injury of Jacobian Morgan and Zy McDonald comes in and changes the pace, but what was the game plan coming into that game that saw success early on for you guys?
Well, of course, we knew we had to stop the run, and that meaning number 5. You know, we knew that he was the engine that got that car running. So we know that they were going to feed him the ball. So the plan was he going to get his yards, but let him get 3 yards. Don't let him get 6 yards. You know, let him get 2 yards. Don't let him get 5 yards. That was our game plan. So if you get 30 carries and you get 115 yards, we'll live with that.
Then Zy McDonald comes in and changes the pace. You as a defensive coordinator had to be scratching your head as he goes down and scores on that first drive, gives them momentum, and then the first possession after halftime comes down and takes them down again. You looking at that, making adjustment, what was going through your head and what was the conversation amongst the staff as you guys then had to adjust on the fly?
Okay, first let me say this, that not too often you knock the first two quarterbacks out of the game, and the third same quarterback come in and be a problem. I'm just going to say that, you know. But, of course, going into the game plan was number five, the focus to stop the run. 15, throwing the bone ball, you know. So the game plan had changed when he got in, but then angles had to change. So when he got in before halftime, you know, first of all, I was trying to figure out how can we contain him, because we didn't have enough time. We never saw him on tape. When you ever seen him on tape, as always, it was 15, 6, and even number 12. You know, so now based on what I saw on the field, I was trying to make the proper adjustment. But even in the second half, we took time to catch up with him, because now in the defensive alignment, angles had to change. We were practicing taking one angle. Now we got to start practicing taking another angle. And that took time as the game went on.
You know, as the game goes on, you start to look at it. I got to ask about a guy like Kelby Givens, co-defensive player of the year. Just what is it like to be able to have that type of kid, that type of baller right there on that defense when you look around and you asking about leaders? He is that guy.
Well, he's the guy that come and say, hey, coach, this is what we can do. Okay, let us do this and do that. Now we can do this. See, these guys not only are they good football players, they understand the scheme and they're smart. You know, so now that's how we was able to contain him after we figure out what he was trying to do. Those guys came to me and said, hey, coach, let's do this like we did the last time against such and such.
And Darius Harris is another kid who has stepped up big for this team. You looking at this defense, man, you had to look back and say, you know, this is one of the top defenses in the SWAC. You're looking at Alabama State, Jackson State, Southern right there. Your philosophy coming into the season to get this defense as one of the top three within this conference?
Hey, you know, every year since I've been here, and especially this year, we preach one thing, G to G. And G to G is going good to great. And we just haven't made it to the great part of what I'm trying to get to, but we saw a lot of success. And we're still going to be pushing for that. You know, you got to be willing to be great, because good is not good enough. Once again, it shows.
Coach, can you hang on through a break for me?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll come back. I got my man, Coach Henry Miller, Southern University defensive coordinator, here on the line with us. Let's take a break. We'll come back and continue this conversation. Stay tuned. More of the Jaguar Journal here in the Baton Rouge Capital City area. Good morning to everybody listening on 107.3 FM across the Baton Rouge Capital City area. Everybody watching on our YouTube channel, good morning to you guys, as well as everybody out there on our Facebook Live. Got a very special guest this morning, Southern University defensive coordinator, my man, Coach Henry Miller. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning.
All right, now, as we continue this conversation, Southern's defense in this past season, as we put a bow on it on last weekend in the SWAC Championship, ranked third in the conference, giving up an average of 300 yards a game. And then when you look at the rush defense, Southern's rush defense ranked fifth in the conference, giving up an average of 148 yards a game. And then on the passing side, Southern's defense and pass defense, number one in the conference, giving up an average of 152 yards a game. You looking at your defense, man, the philosophy and everything else with the talent. Now, as we move forward into the spring, what are we losing? Anything that we're losing? Anybody talk to me about that, of whether it's graduation or the portal?
Well, I'm going to start with the graduation. You know, of course, you know, we'll be losing Cotton and Willie Miles, you know, guys that in interior that have been around here a while, that the scheme helped them be great football players, you know, well, good football players, you know, and they succeed at the end. So going forward, we have to be able to go in and get some guys inside tackles, you know, replace those guys. And since we have to replace them, now we can start building them, you know, getting a little bit more bigger, you know, a little bit more faster, so they can be able to, you know, fill those gaps a little bit better. For us to transfer portal, you know, you never know how that go. You know, you don't know how that go until it go. You know, we would hope that everybody would come back. But you know how this world is built right now. You know, especially me. You know, it seems like every year I lose a player to the transfer portal, and not just a player. You know, an important piece of or players that was important piece. So you have to learn how to keep adjusting. So you don't know what the kids are thinking. You know what you're trying to build. And, you know, if they, you know, you want them to be around, but if they not, then you got to be able to get in find some players that can come and help you be successful.
What would be your biggest area of concern in a recruiting trail for you guys next year that you want to see beefed up?
Our defensive tackles.
Yeah.
I would like to see that get beefed up. I would like to get another rush in, you know, to compliment Kelby. Harry did a great job for us in a short period of time. And I'm looking for a guy that can bring that type of, you know, competitiveness, understanding the role that he played. And, you know, they got a lot of guys out there. We just got to find them.
And, you know, I was talking about Louisiana high school football talent. I get this saying that people say all the time that you guys are not recruiting the Baton Rouge area, New Orleans area, and the Louisiana area. I'm talking to a coach, everybody, that can answer this. Are you guys, including yourself, recruiting the Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and the Louisiana?
I'm from New Orleans.
So you like, how dare you ask me that?
You know, why wouldn't I want to go back to my own backyard?
Yeah.
You know, that's nonsense.
And I ask that because I hear that so much, you know. And this is from the outside world, and this is why I like to have the opportunity to have the conversation with coaches.
Okay, so let me address that right quick. It's not that we are not recruiting, just recruiting that change. You know, and a lot of good high school kids have been left out there in sort of sense because of the transfer portal. It doesn't mean that we're not recruiting them. It's just the process of recruiting change. You get the recruiting transfer portal, then you go back to the kid. Now, the flip side of that, when we do go get a kid, sometimes suddenly we'll land a three-star that we normally wouldn't get because of the change of recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
Those kids will normally go to a mid-level. They're not going no more because they dropped them, not suddenly. Suddenly just coming back on the back end and picking them back up because you're still available.
And for you, you know, you talk about developing those high school kids, and we've seen a lot where coaches these days are, I guess, going more into the portal more so than getting those high school kids and developing. Do you enjoy the process of developing a young man? And for you, what are you looking more to, the portal or bringing in a high school kid?
Me, personally, I prefer a high school kid. You know, I just like developing kids. And basically, when you get a young kid and you develop them, like I had done with Kristen Davis and you know, Rodney Johnson and Horatio Johnson and those guys, you can see the growth. You can see each year, you can see the growth. You know, when you get a transfer guy, you know, they coming in already being coached, different stuff. So now you got to figure out, without changing all of their techniques, how to get their skills to fit what you're trying to do defensively, you know, and that just would be the bigger change. Whether a guy can make those adjustments because you've been used to doing something for a long time. Now, a coach saying, hey, in my scheme, I want you to do dot instead of B, you know, and that could be problems sometimes. But for the most part, everybody would love to still recruit high school kids, you know, but we just know that the way the world is built, you know, 18-year-olds going against 23, 24-year-olds just ain't going to cut it.
You know, and I want to give you flowers while you're right here, man, because I think nonetheless, anybody who watches Southern football has to be impressed with what you see from Southern's defense. Southern's defense has kept them in games over the years. And the fact that, like you said, you work with what you have, you continue to develop, and you get out here, and there's a reason why we have the SWAC Defensive Player of the Year in Kelby Givens. There's a reason why when you look around. And did you feel slighted when you saw the all-SWAC selection? And it's like you're looking at your defense as the third best defense in the conference. And it's like, where are my guys at?
And yeah, I felt slighted. Not only that, even if you look at the FCS mark where these guys are running, you know, they're number one in the tackle for loss. You know, and I just don't get it. You know, I don't understand. They're number four in pass defense. Something like that. I just don't get it. You know, but, you know, like I told them, don't let that be the final decision. When people watch the games, they know that we had a good defense out there. So, you know, whoever they chose, you know, they chose. But that didn't put a damper in what we had accomplished here. So.
And, you know, I like to have you stick around, Coach, because, man, look, you are a good dude, man. You stay out the way, but you get the work done. I know when it's really good, because when you throw them shades on, man, I know he in his zone when I see you with the shades. But I just wanted to give you flowers, man, because I think anybody who watches once again has to be impressed with this defense. Now, moving forward, 2025, right, we'll be looking at Southern starting the season off against North Carolina Central in the MEAC SWAC Challenge. I know that's a long way from now, but just as you build your biggest emphasis going into the spring of what you want to do to help enhance this defense to the next level.
You know, we just want to figure out how we can get to the next step. So, you know, we've been good for too long. We have to be great. And something is stopping us from being great. And when I mean being great, I mean taking advantage of moments like the SWAC championship game. You know, we should have won that game, but whatever it is, you know, and not being able to contain the quarterback, the third string quarterback for the first four or five series, I put that on me, you know. So stuff like that ain't going to never happen again.
I like
that,
coach.
So we're going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out. You know, I love my guys. I love what I stand for, play smart, play fast, play physical. These guys have been consistent year after year. The numbers will change, but it's a set state, you know. So just trying to figure out how can we take it to the next step. You know, getting the right guys here, filling in your depth with defensive tackles, rush in, secondary, making sure guys understand the scheme, you know, 100%. But it's time for us to be great.
I appreciate that, Coach, because you know what you just did? You had accountability. And I can appreciate accountability when the coach say it's on me. We got to get better. Thank you, Coach, for this morning, taking the time out, man, and being able to talk to me. That's the voice of Coach Henry Miller, Southern University defensive coordinator. Hey, appreciate you, Coach.
Okay, thank you. Anytime, my brother. Peace and love.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Peace and love. And look, let's get ready to take a break. How long I got, Mike? I'm already past it. All right, when we come back on the other side, I'm about to have Coach Mark Frederick, Southern University offensive coordinator, going to have a conversation, talk about the other side of the ball. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. More of the Jaguar Journal.